Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, March the 5th. Coming up, bosses are to discuss where thousands of homes could be built in and around Canterbury.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, Canterbury is the biggest settlement in the district. It's right in the centre. It's the administrative centre of it. So the vast majority of the houses are concentrated in Canterbury.
There's a warning today about misinformation being spread online.
We have seen a significant increase of mental health issues among young people in the last decade or so.
And we hear from an award-winning Kent author on World Book Day.
For any children's author, being a World Book Day author is a dream come true.
But first, in today's episode, firefighters have been tackling a blaze in a derelict building next to Ashford College. Huge plumes of smoke were seen coming from Swanton House in Elwick Road yesterday evening. Well, our reporter Max Chesson was at the scene at the time of recording today's podcast. So, Max, what does the scene look like now?
So, Swanton House has been derelict for years anyway. Its doors and windows remain boarded up as they have been, but you can see the brickwork around them is blackened, parts of the roof have caved in. You can see just how charred the wood in the roof would be. And fire engines remain on scene, slightly blocking Elwick Place Road. It's not causing too many issues at the moment, but traffic is slowing down to take a look at the building.
And what do we know so far about the fire?
We know very little about the fire at the moment, but crews were called just after 8:30 p.m. where they were greeted with thick black smoke and flames that had engulfed the building. At its peak, six engines were working the scene, but this morning it is considerably quieter. No cause has yet been given, although fire crews and police have been asked if this is a suspicious fire.
Max, can you give us some background on the site itself, please?
So as I said, Swanton House has been derelict for decades. It simply exists as an eyesore next to Ashford College. But plans were announced just a few days ago to demolish it and rebuild it as 34 flats. These plans were put in by Ashford Borough Council itself via one of its property development companies. The council has yet to comment on the future of the plans, but given the extent of the damage, the building may need to come down sooner rather than later. It simply seems to clear the way for this development to happen if there was any doubt about it before.
And what's the latest advice from firefighters?
Luckily, the advice from firefighters very much just seems to be go about your usual day. There are no warnings in place anymore. You don't have to keep your windows or doors shut. There may be some congestion in the area because, as I said, people are gathering to sort of look at the damage and the fire engines are still blocking part of the road. But it's very much business as usual as far as the rest of Ashford is concerned.
Max, thank you ever so much. You can also see pictures and video within today's story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
South East Water's facing a £22 million fine for disruption to supplies in Kent and Sussex. The regulators identified multiple failings which led to outages for thousands of customers between 2020 and 2023. Ofwat has launched a consultation so they can hear from the public before a final decision's made about the fine. A woman in her 80s has died after falling from a moving car in Tunbridge. The silver Vauxhall Mokka was pulling away when a passenger came out and landed on the road. She suffered critical injuries and passed away in hospital. Investigators are keen to speak to witnesses or anyone with dash cam footage. Meantime, a man is still in hospital following a serious crash on the A20 in Folkestone. A car and lorry collided on the coastbound carriageway near the entrance to the Roundhill Tunnel on Tuesday night. A man in his 30s suffered multiple injuries. The 52-year-old lorry driver has been arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving. And a teenager is still being treated nearly a week after a serious collision in Westrum. An electric motorbike had been followed by police officers. It later crashed into a building in the High Street just after 10 a.m. last Thursday. We're told the 19-year-old rider is in a stable condition. A Chatham mum who dropped her son off at a station while over the drink drive limit has been banned from driving. The 47-year-old got behind the wheel at 7 a.m. having been drinking the night before. Officers spotted her poor driving and she failed a breath breathalyzer test. She's pleaded guilty and lost her licence for 16 months. She's also got to pay more than £600. Now, next today, a detailed document of where 23,000 homes could be built in Canterbury, Whitstable and Herne Bay is going to be debated by councillors for the first time tonight. It's known as a local plan and also sets out where things like roads will need to be constructed to support new developments and growing populations. Well, local democracy reporter Dan Essen has been chatting to Kate.
perhaps unsurprisingly, Canterbury is the biggest settlement in the district. It's right in the centre. It's the administrative centre of it. So the vast majority of the houses are concentrated in Canterbury. There's quite a few large sites like this, for example, a reasonably controversial one called Merson Park in the Wincheap area, which is about 1,900 homes. There's the land south of, I think, Beeksbourne Lane it is, which is also about 1,000 homes. There's the Wincheap, what is currently the Wincheap Industrial Estate, is slated to host about 1,000 homes at some point in the future with all that industrial space moved around and reprovided sort of in the area. So yeah, Canterbury is by far getting the most of the houses, but obviously there's large rural areas, including lots of villages, and there's a few sort of estates of a couple hundred homes here or there dotted around villages like Chartham and Beeksbourne and Whitstable and Herne Bay are for the most part getting away with not too many new homes. Whitstable has one large development of over 1,000 homes called Bodkin Farm, but that's the only really large one. And Herne Bay doesn't have any that large as well. It's just kind of a couple hundred here or there. And then lots and lots of small sites, but needless to say, there are so many tiny little sites that are allocated for, you know, 5 to 20 homes on patches of land here or there that aren't, I mean, it's a big deal to the people who live there, but it's not, those aren't the major sites and they're not going to make up the bulk of it. But also so many of the sites where houses are going to be built are carried over from the last local plan. So if you read this very long document that gives a list of all the homes, it only adds up to, I think, 10,000 or so like that. The rest of them are ones which are either currently being built or sites which have been allocated previously and got planning permission.
And so what happens next? I understand that it's going to be debated for the first time tonight.
Yeah, so tonight there's an overview committee meeting of Canterbury City Council. That's where members of the public can come and speak and make their views on it heard, and members of all political parties will debate it. Tonight they're not making any decisions. They're basically just expressing their views and analysing this final version of the plan. And then the week after next, there's going to be a special meeting of the cabinet and then the full council, which is where the final vote will be had on accepting that this is the version of the local plan the council are happy with. If it passes then, which is quite likely, because if it didn't, they'd be setting themselves up for many, many more months of work. They'll then send it away to a government inspector, which spends usually quite a long time, sort of 4 to 5 months at least, analysing the plan, seeing how feasible and deliverable they are. And then they will get the final say and recommend any tweaks. But obviously, this has been a very complicated process. The council has professional planning officers who work for them, so it's not that common for a local plan to be rejected by a government inspector. But essentially, this is the beginning of the end, and within certainly a year or so, I'd imagine this plan will be in some way made official and adopted.
And dozens of new homes have been approved for land near Deal, despite concerns over road safety. Councillors have given the go-ahead to 30 properties being built off Station Road in Walmer, even though residents had raised fears about the junction with Dover Road being congested. 5 new estates are either under construction or planned for a one-mile stretch in the area.
Kent Online reports.
A motorbike has been seized by police investigating reports of antisocial riding and criminal damage in Swanley. Officers were called over concerns in New Barn Road last month. Earlier, reports had been made about tyre damage to the nearby skate park. A 19-year-old was interviewed under caution about several offences. The family of a young man from Broadstairs who's died following a battle with brain cancer are planning to set up a foundation in his memory. James Barker was first diagnosed with a tumour in 2022, and although he was given the all clear the following year, it returned 6 months later. The 28-year-old's parents and siblings want the charity to help provide holistic therapies to those with chronic illnesses. A date has been set for a by-election in Thanet, the first since Reform UK took control of Kent County Council. The ballot in Cliftonville was triggered when the party's former member Daniel Taylor was jailed for 12 months for coercive behaviour towards his wife. The vote will take place on April the 9th. Motorists are going to be restricted from driving along another road in Kent at school time. A so-called school street is going to be trialled in Snodland after what's been described as several near misses involving pedestrians. Now, from April the 27th, cars will be fined if they're caught travelling along Roberts Road outside Snodland Primary between 8 and 9 in the morning and 2:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon. Next today, the MP for Ashford is warning exposure to misinformation on social media is damaging children's mental health. This all comes as TikTok videos have emerged encouraging so-called school wars with organised fighting between pupils. Now, a number of schools in the county have sent letters home to parents saying it's already impacting children. Sojan Joseph says circulating trends like this can increase levels of anxiety and depression. He's been chatting to Kate.
We have seen a significant increase of mental health issues among young people in the last decade or so. So we cannot just say this is purely because of increased social media screen time use, but definitely social media and screen time, increased screen time has an impact on this. A couple of things we've seen, lack of confidence in people, lack of patience, anxiety, depression. This is all on top of the disinformation and misinformation that's coming through social media. And also, we have heard evidences of children committing or acting self-harming or suicide influenced by some people on social media. So there is evidence that this has an impact on the people. And also we know that the more time you spend on screen, it takes away that natural conversation, social interaction. People feel isolated, lonely. They spend hours and hours in their bedrooms, not having that natural interaction. So it has an impact on people's mental health.
I'm not sure if you've probably seen it. There's a thing going around on social media at the moment. It's these school wars, and I think it was on TikTok. So children are sort of assigned a color, they're assigned a side, and they're expected to, you know, basically go to war with each other. You know, they get certain points for, you know, if they beat somebody up or if they film an attack or things like that. I mean, surely things like this aren't helping children's mental health. I mean, have you? Is that something that you've seen?
I'm not aware of any specific cases, but I have seen a similar kind of video spreading in the social media. And again, as I touched on earlier, we don't know how many of those videos spreading in TikTok and other social media are correct, how many are related to from this country. This is the danger. This is the danger side. What we're talking about is why it is important to bring those restrictions that we touched on. I touched on disinformation and misinformation. So especially with the AI coming in, anybody can create any sort of video which looks natural. And we have seen people going on to AI chatbots to get advice, especially on get advice on mental health. Health, things like so. This is why it is making important that we don't know what we actually seeing on social media these days. So that's why this restriction is very important. And we also make sure that yes, Australia gone ahead and put restriction on under 16. So we should look for evidences how successful it is. What is the outcome that's coming from Australia as well before we make any sort of decision in this country. That's why this consultation is very important.
As you heard there, Sojan is asking parents and children to get involved in a government consultation which will help shape the future of online safety.
Kent Online reports.
Two Kent Garden Centres have been sold off after being run by the same family for almost 50 years. The Millbrook Garden Centres in Staplehurst and Gravesend have now been taken over by British Garden Centres. The owners say they'd made the difficult decision to sell as there was no next generation to take the reins. Tenterden has become the fourth Kent town to bid to become UK Town of Culture for 2028. The push is being led by Tenterden Town Council. Deal, Chatham and Dartford have already thrown their hat into the ring. The winning town will secure £3 million of investment. Now, vouchers are going to be handed out in schools across Kent today as we all celebrate World Book Day. Perhaps you've had little ones dressing up in celebration of the event. Well, figures from the National Literacy Trust show that daily reading levels for children have reached a 20-year low. Annabelle Steadman is an award-winning author from Kent, and she writes the Scandar series, which will be part of the £1 book deal. She's been chatting to us about World Book Day.
For any children's author, being a World Book Day author is a dream come true. When I got the call, I was so emotional because I think lots of us remember kind of growing up with the vouchers and the dressing up and all that kind of thing. And you just know that your book, being able to put it out there to exchange it for a voucher, it's going to mean that so many more children get to experience the fantasy world. And also, maybe it's going to be the key to them kind of picking up more books, which I think is so important to all of us authors, because it does take just one book, the kind of for the spark to ignite. And because the World Book Day books are quite short, they're quite manageable. You don't have to spend money to get them, and lots of your friends might be reading them at the same time. I think they can really be that kind of initial kind of excitement about reading that really will then influence the rest of a child's life.
You touched on it there really briefly. We are, well, just recently actually we saw some quite scary statistics about the amount that children are reading. I think there was a really horrifying statistic in there saying, one in every 10 children don't own their own book. And in this age of screens and technology where their attention is really drawn somewhere else, how do we ignite that reading spark? What can we be doing to prioritize reading?
I think for me, something that I've seen really work when children have said to me, I didn't read before, I started reading the Skandar series, for example, I think that children like to feel a sense of community when they're reading. So, for example, when a teacher reads the book in the class and they're all reading the same book and then they get the same cliffhangers at the same time and they get to talk about the characters, then that really works, particularly for children that kind of haven't really fell in love with reading and don't prioritize it. And it's hard to prioritize it as an adult, as an author. I also struggle to read, and I think we all do because there are so many distractions. But I think it is really important if, as an adult, you do like reading, and as a parent as well, to try to model it for your children, because then it does become this community experience. Like, read what they're reading, talk to them about it. My favorite kind of interactions when I do signings is when like the whole family has read the Skandar series together and they've like fought over the book, because that brings it to life for the child. It makes it something that they are interested in because everyone's interested in it. Because when you're growing up, you're trying to work out who you are. And so having other people having that same experience really helps you to do that. And you'll have a different favorite character from someone else. And why is that? And why did you enjoy this book more than another one? So I think that community is important, and that's kind of why World Book Day is so important as well, in terms of us really kind of looking at these statistics, because then children really can read the same book because everyone can go and swap one for a voucher, and they really can have that experience of dressing up if they want to, or just talking about which one they're going to choose. So I think for me, it's like a group experience. We've seen kind of big fandoms over the years, and they really get children to read. And so I think it's important that we all try to sort of do it with them and encourage it, because otherwise, why would they bother if they're not seeing it happening? And then if they're not seeing their friends doing it, then it's kind of like, why is this a thing that we do? It's hard to explain.
Thanks ever so much to Annabelle for chatting to us. And you can head to our socials as well to see some of the pictures of the little ones dressed up for World Book Day. Two Kent parks are set to undergo major upgrades. Swanley Recreation Ground and Elephant Park, also in Swanley, will be getting new facilities and themed play areas. Local bosses say they're investing £350,000. And a group of former Gurkha soldiers have joined forces to reopen a disused pub in Maidstone. The Dragoon on Sandling Road closed in January 2023. It's set to be renamed the Invicta Arms and should welcome customers next month.
Kent Online Sports.
A couple of bits of football news to update you on, and the Gillingham manager says they want to show home fans what they can do as they return to Priestfield this weekend. Gareth Ainsworth insists the quality will come following a mixed set of results recently. They're hosting Fleetwood on Saturday, who are three places above them in the League Two table. Elsewhere, the Maidstone United managers admitted he may need to add to his squad due to injury problems. Striker Mohamedou Fall was stretchered off with a knee injury on Tuesday night, while goalkeeper Nathan Harness suffered concussion after landing awkwardly when claiming a cross. The Stones are currently in the National League South playoff places. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.com. kent.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.